Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our Black Friday version of Fan Junkies Radio. No, I am not Jonathan Regis, but this is Mike McShane, a.k.a. Frat House Mike. Jonathan has taken a little holiday today, spending some time with his family, and so you've got me, but I'm not by myself. No, I'm not. Joining me today, special guest host, a guy I've been working with now for about 2 years on Frat House Sports Projects, and my co-host for the past 64 weeks over at 5 Minutes at the Frat House, we've got Sidekick. Sidekick, how are we doing today?
Doing good. All stuffed from turkey yesterday.
Well, I was going to ask you, I'm sure you hit the the gym this morning to try to work off some of those calories, or what?
No, actually, after the show, I'll be hitting the gym extra hard this afternoon, try to work off some of them calories. And then I got MMA tonight, so...
Yeah, I thought perhaps maybe you were going to say that you'd be hitting the refrigerator for all the leftovers.
All right. Yesterday was my day. Today I got to get back on track.
Uh-huh. Not too many Jaegers yesterday, right?
No, actually, I was hitting that Jim Beam, that Booker, that 128 proof.
Well, we're glad to have you with us. This should be a lot of fun today. Because it is kind of a continuation of a holiday day here, folks, I kind of decided to just kind of call it Open Forum Day. Open Forum, anything you want to talk about, anything you want to call in and talk about, it doesn't matter what sports. You want to talk about yesterday's games, you want to talk about upcoming games in the NFL, want to talk about NBA, you want to talk about Major League Baseball, whatever.
Hey, we'll even talk about the NHL.
There's not much to talk about, but we can do that. Whatever is on your mind, you can call in with, all right? And the number is 347-237-5373, and we'd love to hear from you, all right? Give us a holler. Let us know what's on your mind. Like I said, it's kind of a relaxed sort of day today, and we're just going to take it kind of easy and see where things go. In fact, we don't even have much of a lineup here, Sidekick. We just kind of threw things together, and we're going to see where things go.
Sure, you know, loosen that belt, get a beer, sit back.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs>
There's no football today, really, but, you know.
Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the holiday of it all. All right. We did have three games yesterday, Sidekick, in the NFL. Two out of three ain't bad, I guess. That's the way we would have to phrase that one, huh? One went to overtime. One was pretty darn close between two interdivision rivals. And then the last one was, well, I don't know what you would call that. I guess we'd kind of have to call that a dog. The Houston Texans played Detroit yesterday. All three of these games, by the way, interesting when you start to take a look at, and of course, obviously, we've got Sunday coming up, Psychic, with a whole slew of games. But if you take a look at the three games that were played, and if we just start it real quick with the Houston and the Detroit game, for Detroit, that was really a make-or-break game. And they did not win it. They went to overtime, and they lost that game 34-31. Make-or-break game. Detroit right now is 4-7 and in the basement of the NFC North. And it really appears at this point right now that Detroit, I think, is almost now an afterthought to the playoffs. At the same time, over at Houston, you know, everybody's been talking for weeks and weeks and weeks about Atlanta, about the Falcons. And here's Houston, 10-1, and sitting atop the AFC South. They're now four games in front of the Indianapolis Colts. Of course, the Colts will play later on Sunday, so it's four games for the moment. First of all, Detroit, sidekick. Did you see this coming this year with Detroit?
No, didn't see that at all. I mean, you know, there's a couple, you know, surprise teams. You know, we, you know, talk about Green Bay and Detroit, where, you know, last year they were, you know, they were the class of the field, and this season they're just kind of like, you know, mediocre.
Yeah, and I've you know, Jonathan and I have talked about it on previous shows, and I kind of put the blame at this squarely at the feet of one person, and that's Matt Stafford. You think that's would you say the same?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, he's just been off all season. I mean, there were some questions about mine just went blank. Running back for Detroit coming back off of his injury,
right?
And whether, you know, how good he was going to be able to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stafford not doing well,
right?
So, you know, it's kind of like the Detroit Lions have gone back to where they were a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfortunate.
You know?
I feel kind of bad about that in some respects because, I mean, I had gotten really excited about Detroit last year. They looked really, really good. And you kind of got the impression that, well, this is a whole new Detroit Lions team. Here's Matt Stafford right now, currently ranked 20th of the quarterbacks in the entire league. He's not even middle of the pack. Let's get it straight. I mean, look, he's not Mike Vick. I mean, Mike Vick's ranked 25th. But 14 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, a QB rating of 82.9. Not terribly impressive. When you take a look at some of the weapons that he's had around him, they all seem to be performing at where you would expect them to be, which is why frequently I always come back and I bring it back to Matt Stafford and say, really, you know, this team, in my opinion, they're 4-7. What did I say they are? 4-7. They're 4-7 because of one thing, and that's Matt Stafford. Now, like I said, that game yesterday, Houston went on to win that 34-31. Both quarterbacks were mediocre. Matt Schaub, you know, for winning the game, was not terrific. 29-48. 315 yards, 78.0 QB rating. Stafford on the other side put the ball in the air 61 times, 31-61, two TDs, no interceptions, 85.5 QB rating. Arian Foster had 20 yards on the 20 carries and 120 or 102 yards on the ground. This game really came down to one play. And I think we know which one that was. That was that third quarter, 6:49 remaining in the third quarter. Justin Forsett appeared to be down, but then the referees didn't call it as such. He got back up and continued to run all the way into the end zone. Red flag came out from Lions head coach Jim Schwartz. He threw the red flag, disputing the touchdown, and it comes back that, well, not only didn't they review the play, because that's part of the penalty, but the Lions got penalized 15 yards on the ensuing kickoff. Did you see this play happen, sidekick, when it was occurring?
Yep, and I saw Jim Schwartz. Oh, he was not a happy camper when once he threw that flag and he found out what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that
has got to be one of the most bogus rules I've ever heard of.
Yeah, were you even aware? I wasn't even aware that. I mean, I guess I knew that it was a penalty. You know, that if you throw the red flag on something that is not supposed to be reviewable, I knew that was a penalty. But I guess perhaps there hasn't been enough time where it has been implemented to the extent that we were fully aware of what the penalty implications were.
Right.
To have... And, go ahead.
And I thought I've seen in the past where a coach has thrown a red flag and the refs have gone back to him and said, look, that's not a reviewable play.
And they give them the chance.
And they pick the flag up.
Yeah, they give them the
chance. The fact
that
they actually, you know, said, hey, the play's not reviewable, plus from now we're going to tack you on with 15 yards.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that's a new rule this year.
Right.
But that definitely has to be looked at. I mean, that's, you know.
And the NFL has indicated as such already this morning in some of the articles that I have taken a look at, that, in fact, they are going to take a look at this particular rule. But it seems to me that it's almost a double jeopardy situation. Teams are getting penalized twice. To me, it would be a situation where, okay, I can understand the yardage penalty, all right, that is to, you know, give them a 15-yard penalty. But then to go and say, oh, okay, well, listen, just to show you that we're really, really annoyed, we're not even going to review the call to begin with. It doesn't make any sense. If the whole purpose behind reviewing plays is to make sure that they're right, why are you going to go and penalize a team for not reviewing a play when it's so obvious to everybody that it's wrong? You know what I mean? I mean, the whole thing just seems really, really bizarre. I mean, it's a bizarre play. Now, some are indicating that, in fact, this is intended to deter coaches from constantly throwing the flag or attempting to manipulate the clock by throwing the flag and getting the, I guess, the extra time while they do the reviews. That apparently was the intention. I don't know. Makes any sense to you or what?
Well, I see, but I find that bogus, because you're talking like on this particular play, you know, it resulted in a score. The clock stopped.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's not. The clock stopped. There should be no penalty for that. He's not trying to stop it.
Right.
So, you know, I think maybe they need to go back and look at it and either tweak it or just pull it off, you know, take it off the table altogether.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I can see the 15-yard penalty, on the ensuing kickoff. I can understand that, and I'm willing to go along with that. But to purposefully ignore taking a look at a play that you've already indicated to everybody under normal circumstances is going to be reviewed. And in this particular case, the call was obviously needed to be reviewed, because, and had it been reviewed, it would have been overturned. This was just a bad situation. You know, it was a bad use of the penalty from the standpoint it had the worst possible effect. You know, what are the chances of it possibly happening again? But I guess in some respects it's kind of good that it did, because it's alerted us all. And it perhaps maybe has alerted the NFL to the effect that they're going to have to take a look at this particular rule. There's no doubt. I mean, when you take a look at this final score here, that one could point to that mistake, if you want to call it that, or that implementation of that particular ruling. You could directly point to that and say that was the difference in the game.
Right. Well, and, you know, yesterday watching, you know, all the games and all, you know, and all the other games, you know, the two games that followed that, you know, they talked about that. And, you know, basically the headline was that Jim Schwartz effectively cost their team a win by throwing that flag when he shouldn't have.
Yeah, but it's.
But I don't, you know. Yes, I think the result was he cost his team a win, but. You know, it's one of those, you know, not knowing the rules, possibly, perhaps, that, you know.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I mean, is it really fair to put that kind of judgment on the coach and say, oh, well, you cost us the game? I mean, you know, I think Schwartz said in one of the, and in fact, I think I have the quote up here. Schwartz was quoted afterward to say, I know the rule, you can't challenge on a turnover or a scoring play, but I was so mad that I overreacted. I had the flag in my hand before he even scored because he was obviously down. So, you know, Schwartz is indicating it was kind of a moment of passion and anger, and he threw it in that respect. You know, I kind of agree with you. We've seen it happen before, where the referees will come over to the coach and give them the opportunity, you know, kind of as a second chance to pick up the flag. And I think maybe that's what they should have done in this particular case.
Right.
You know.
But, you know, it you can go back to – you almost can compare it when you go back to the overtime game with McNabb.
Uh-huh.
You know, and McNabb saying, well, I didn't – you know, I mean, obviously Jim Schwartz said he knew the rule and it was passion, but, you know, you go back to that overtime game with McNabb and, you know, well, I didn't know the rules and, you know, cost the Eagles the win because he wasn't playing, you know, he didn't realize that the game ended.
Right, right.
You know, it's that same kind of, you know.
Well, and God knows he was terribly, terribly castigated for that admission. Oh, I didn't know the rule, and then everybody made him to be an absolute idiot. How do you not know the rule? You know, so, I mean, in some respects, he took some heat for, I guess, his honesty in that particular case.
Right.
But as we started out and talking about this particular case, not knowing the rule. Listen, you know, you and I are big NFL fans. We didn't know the rule.
No, I didn't. I didn't realize that.
I mean, you know, we watch just about every single game that's played every single week, and we didn't know the rule. We're sitting there going, "What in the world?" So I almost would understand Schwartz coming out and saying, well, geez, I had no idea. I didn't know that was the case. So anyhow, there it is. That was game one from yesterday. A little bit of intrigue. Like I said, went to overtime. Was a close game with its share of controversy. And in the end, Houston ends up 10-1 atop the South, and Detroit drops to 4-7. The second game yesterday was that interdivision game, sidekick between Washington and the Cowboys. And in this particular one, this really has, going into the game, it had and has now tremendous ramifications on what's happening over in the NFC East. The Cowboys were 5-5, Washington was 4-6, and they're playing in Dallas's house. Washington ended up winning that game 38-31. What was in your mind? What was the big difference in that one, sidekick?
Well, I mean, from the start, I mean the Redskins just put it to Dallas. I mean, Dallas was able to at least come out in the second half and kind of regroup and, you know, try to get back in. But, you know, we were talking last week, when Dallas and Philadelphia played, and how, you know, this was kind of a really pivotal game for both teams, because whoever lost was basically going to be shunned, you know, and their playoff hopes were probably, you know, crushed at that point. And the winner would probably go on and contend for, you know, a playoff berth.
Right.
And it looked like, with Dallas winning that game, that they had momentum and that they were going to make a run at the Giants. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the Redskins just came in yesterday and said, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You guys are, you know, and they, you know, the Redskins just put it to Dallas. I mean, the score is close, but that was not a close game, in my opinion.
That's a great point. You're absolutely right. I kind of, you look at the final score and you think, oh, okay, this was a tight one, but really, when it comes right down to it, it never really felt like a close game at all. You know, I asked you the question the other night on 5 Minutes at the Frat House, and we were talking about Rookies of the Year, and I said, is RG3 an automatic for Rookie of the Year? Well, my God, he did it again yesterday. Let's get it straight. 20 of 28, he was, 311 yards, 4 TDs. Yes, he did have one interception, but ended up with a QB rating of 132.6. He certainly, you know, if there was any doubt, you know, and we've had the conversations before, and the conversations started out the entire season, you know, it started out with the Luck RG3 comparison. You know, right from almost draft day, that's been the conversation. Who's the better quarterback? I had indicated very early on that I ultimately believed that RG3 would probably turn out to, in the end, you know, years from now, when careers are looked at, I said that I thought that RG3 had the potential of probably being the better quarterback of the two. I certainly didn't expect it in rookie years.
Right, and see that, and that's where I said, you know, my angle was I thought that, you know, RG3 was going to come out and be a better quarterback this year than Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of a tough argument because, you know, Luck's got a decent record, but he's doing it much more quietly and more, I feel, more of a team.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, getting the wins. Whereas RG3, yes, it's a team getting, you know, getting the win as well. But I feel like his is more dynamic.
Right.
With,
right.
You know, because he, you know, he's throwing, he's, you know, he's passing, he's running. He's more involved. And that, and you know, more people are, you know, he's more magnetizing,
right?
You know, more people are looking at RG3 than are looking at Andrew Luck, and you have some of these, you know, 4 touchdowns yesterday, you know, and I think that's why you're going to see RG3 be Rookie of the Year.
Do you think that has something to do the fact that people are looking more at RG3? Is there something to do with, say, the market? I mean, it being the Washington market versus the Indianapolis market? Is it the team? I mean, you made the comment that you felt going into the season that, in fact, RG3 would be the better quarterback, particularly in the first year, over Andrew Luck. Is that because was your feeling because perhaps maybe RG3 had a slightly better team around him? Or what was your thinking in that? And why are people looking at RG3 almost naturally more than Andrew Luck right now?
Well, I thought, well, one was I didn't know what shape Indianapolis was in.
Right.
You know, because basically, you know, Peyton left and they kind of just fire sailed that team.
Yeah, you're not kidding. You're
you
right.
You know, to some extent. So I wasn't sure what Andrew Luck was going to be coming into as a first-year quarterback. And, you know, Andrew Luck didn't strike me as the guy, as the kind of quarterback that was going to be able to really extend plays and, you know, get out there and run and move around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's more of your stereotypical pocket passer.
Right.
So I thought he was going to have, you know, more issue. I mean, if he's got a suspect offensive line, he's going to be getting creamed. You know, the only, you know, I think veteran wide receiver they had coming back was Reggie Wayne. You know, so there was a lot of pieces in flux there that, you know, you couldn't really tell what was going to happen this year.
Right.
Whereas RG3, and also he had big shoes to fill.
Oh,
yeah. He's coming in after Peyton Manning.
Yep, that's for sure.
And, you know, there's this, you know, almost this degree of expectation when you're coming in and you're almost doomed to fail, honestly. You know, if you're following up a Peyton Manning.
Yep.
You know, so, and he's quietly, you know, doing it, and, you know, their record shows it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you talk about, you know, RG3 coming into the Redskins, I mean, come on, Redskins in the East have kind of been a joke for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You sit there and talk about, you know, Shanahanigans and, you know, What is Shanahan doing? You know, he's one week he's saying this and he's doing something else and he's benching people and starting, you know, who's going to be running back this week and, you know, and all that. So RG3 is coming in. So the bar was set lower for RG3.
Right.
I think, first of all. And he, you know, he's following up Cam Newton's performance of last year, you know, breakout performance of last year.
Right.
You know, he's coming into a team where, again, we're not quite sure how they're going to do, but he's got, you know, he's got the mobility.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able to extend plays. He's able to run. He's, you know, so he's able to kind of take more on his shoulder and, you know, help the team out.
Right.
And that. So, and I think that's kind of what's showing with RG3 this year. You know, they've been in some tough situations. And he's been able to, you know, shoulder it and, you know, help get the team win. And, you know, obviously their record's not as good as Andrew Luck, but I think they're in a way tougher division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we kind of talked to it the beginning of football season about, you know, the quarterbacks in the NFC East. with Eli Manning and Michael Vick, you know, Tony Romo and RG3, and how are all these all-star quarterbacks, you know, even though RG3 was a rookie, you know, he had that hype coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how were these four quarterbacks going to square off against each other?
Right.
And how exciting it was going to be in the East to see all these quarterbacks with their different styles.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, RG3 is showing it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you're pointing out that, you know, Andrew Luck might have the better record, that RG3 plays in the tougher division. And yet, when you take a look at the current, and this is including yesterday's game, when you take a look at the current passer ratings right now and the passer standings across the entire NFL, Robert Griffin III right now is ranked fourth amongst all quarterbacks. Where is Andrew Luck? Andrew Luck right now is ranked 28th. So you make a very, very valid point from the standpoint that, yeah, Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts might have the better record, but in fact these numbers, which we're simply looking at individual performance by the quarterback, is clearly weighted in the side of RG3. Robert Griffin III ranked fourth right now, passer rating, overall passer rating for the entire season, 104.6. He's got a 67.5 completion percentage, and he leads the league of all quarterbacks in yards per attempt at 8.21 yards per attempt. Currently, this is incredible. Look at this number, 16 TDs versus 4 interceptions. So, I think your point is valid. Before we get off of, I got one more question for you, Sidekick, before we get off of that particular game. Before we do, let me do this real quick. Any of you that are out there, like I said, it's open forum day today. So, you know, hey, call in, give us a holler. We're talking yesterday's football games, but we don't have to. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind, so long as it's sports related. Maybe you've got something you want to throw in about the Washington Cowboys game or about the Detroit and Houston game. And if you want to do that, real simple. The number is 347-237-5373. Got it? I'm going to do it one more time. 347-237-5373. Give us a holler. Love to talk to you and see what's on your mind today here on Black Friday. I had mentioned going into that Dallas game, Sidekick, that, you know, it's kind of a pivotal game because right now the NFC East looks like a division that's up for grabs. Nobody seems to actually want to win it. With Washington winning that game yesterday, the Giants right now are 6-4. They're going to play on Sunday night versus Green Bay. Boy, that puts a lot of pressure on the Giants, does it not now, to make sure that they, I think, have a win out of that. They're one game in front of the Washington Redskins. Washington and Dallas now tied for second in the division. Obviously, I'm going to make the predict right now. We're not getting a wild card team out of the NFC East. That's for sure. So whoever comes out of this and gets into the playoffs has to win the division. Who would you give the nod to at this particular moment of those three teams in the East?
Oof. Wow. We kind of talked about it on this week's 5 Minutes at Frat House. You know, historically, you know, Dallas really kind of needed to win this game.
Yep.
Because Romo's going into December now, and he's not good historically. Of course, we kind of kidded around that, you know, maybe they needed to lose to break that cycle because he was 5-0 on Thanksgiving and would have his, you know, December slump. And that, you know, maybe by losing this game, he would not suffer his December slump. So I guess we'll see about that. But, you know, given historical numbers, you know, Dallas is going to kind of fall off here in the month of December, and I think they're going to wind up out of any chance of playoff contention.
Right.
The Redskins, you know, not quite sure. You know, they seem to, you know, they seem now have the ball to go and take on the Giants. The Giants normally get hot this time of the year. So,
yeah.
You know, I think ultimately you're going to see the Giants prevail in the East.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I don't think the Eagles are even in any type of conversation about this.
Oh, heck no.
I mean, they've just completely imploded, and I honestly feel given up on the season.
Well, that's
at this
why
point,
I
and given up on Andy Reid.
I ignored them. I wasn't even going to bring them into the conversation.
So, I mean, you know.
Well, you know, we've talked about this on 5 Minutes at the Frat House as well. We've talked about the Dallas game plans. And when you take a look at the numbers from yesterday, it is absolutely ridiculous from the standpoint of their game plan. And I pointed it out. Tony Romo put the ball in the air 62 times. Running game, it doesn't exist. 35 yards on the ground is all they had. 441 yards in the air. And I made the comment on Wednesday night's 5 Minutes at the Frat House show that, in my opinion, I think the thing that's going to hurt the Cowboys in the long run, particularly this season, and for any hopes of winning the division, they've become very, very predictable. I mean, I think defenses know exactly what they're going to do. I mean, when you've got no running game, you know what this team's going to do.
Yeah, they're missing DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, and Felix Jones has just not been, you know.
Well, they keep thinking they can use him, and, you know, some weeks he comes out and he does okay, and then the next week could come out and look absolutely horrible.
Right.
So.
And penalties are still killing the Cowboys.
Right.
As well as the turnovers. You know, they had 3 turnovers yesterday, and 2 of those were at the hands of Tony Romo.
Yeah. Yes, exactly right. Penalties you're talking about. Yesterday, 7 penalties again to the Dallas Cowboys for 45 yards. Romo right now is ranked 17th in all quarterbacks in the entire NFL, 17th. So, again, kind of right in the middle of the pack. 16 TDs for Romo versus 15 interceptions. And, of course, that's not including other turnovers like fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
But now, we talked a little bit about that Giants game. Both you and I, the other night in making our picks, we highlighted the Giants-Green Bay game, and both of us picked the Giants to win that. You're sticking by that one, Sidekick?
Yeah, I'm still sticking by that.
All right. So that would put, at that point, if that comes to be, at that point then, the Giants would go 7-4, and they would have a 2-game lead over the Washington Redskins and Dallas Cowboys. Alrighty. New England yesterday put some distance between themselves and their division rivals yesterday. They're now 8-3, having beaten. Did they beat them? Are you kidding me? 49-19. They smacked down the New York Jets, who have now dropped to 4-7 in the basement of the AFC East. Did you watch this game, or at least portions of it, Psychic?
Yeah, unfortunately I didn't. Or I did, I mean.
Yeah, this
so
game.
That was rough to watch.
This game.
Had serious fantasy implications for me, as my opponent this week had the New England defense. And I was screaming.
Yeah, did I notice how many points did he pick up off the defense? 30-some?
Yeah, 30-something points.
Okay. This game at halftime was over. New England was up 35-3 at halftime. And three touchdowns in, what was it, 52 seconds?
Yep.
You know, I don't know. Is that a record? I don't ever remember a team scoring 3 touchdowns in 52 seconds off the clock. I mean.
And 2 of those were defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that Edelman, that the kickoff fumble that Edelman returned.
Yep.
I mean, how much luckier can you get? I mean, that thing popped out, went right into Edelman's hands, and boom, touchdown. I was at that point, I was livid.
Yeah, and this from a team that you know, has been maligned over the past number of seasons defensively. Let's see. Brady was 18 of 28, 323 yards, 3 TDs, no interceptions, 139.4 QB rating. The Jets are, I don't know how else to describe them except to say that they're just flat out horrible. Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, they're horrible. They, you know, I made the comment last night. You know, they wear green and white, and if I didn't know better, I think I'm watching the Eagles, because there are two teams, in my opinion, that are very, very similar in nature from the standpoint of the internal problems, the fact that they just look completely disorganized, the fact that they don't appear to have much confidence in the players they have out on the field. The play calling, I think, is very, very suspect for the Jets. Absolutely horrible performance, and they're with all due respect, you know. And I know we have a lot of New York fans, and hey, you know, give me a holler 347-237-5373, and let me know what's on your mind with regard to these Jets. But can I tell you right now, as an outsider looking in, they are very, very tough to watch. I mean, they're painful to watch.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I make no excuses for my Eagles as well. They're very difficult to watch as well. I've gotten to the point where I really don't even care. But to have to sit through a national game, the last game of the day on Thanksgiving, suffering from an overdose of tryptophan, you know, and to have a performance like this one, well, it almost puts you to sleep early.
Yeah, I know. I had posted it on Facebook last night about the game, and you know, your brother Mark had come back and said, "Well, you know, there's a new episode of Honey Boo Boo on." You know, and so you know, a little chuckle about that. And of course, you know, the New York Post today, you know, has a picture of Sanchez down on his knees, you know, butt of the joke was the headline. You know, for the one turnover where, you know, he was pushed, you know, where he was literally pushed into by I believe it was the center,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, fell back on him, and they, you know, they lost that fumble.
Right, right.
So, I mean, I you know, you talk about hot seat coaches, and, you know, Jason Garrett's name is usually thrown out there with Andy Reid's name.
Right.
But, you know, you have to wonder if, you know, is it? It's not so much Jason Garrett. I mean, you need to stay close to home and look at Rex Ryan and, you know, and Andy Reid.
Right.
For the, you know, the two team, you know, the real hot seat coaches, I think, right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the Jets have just fallen apart as well.
Right.
You know, and, you know, was that, you know, is that because Tebow, you know, the hype machine Tebow came into town, or, you know, was there issues there, other issues there, you know, that, you know, people aren't looking, you know, weren't necessarily looking at because everybody's paying attention to Tebow.
Yeah. Well, let me get to the Tebow thing in a moment. We've got a call coming in here, and I think I know who this is, and I think we've got Uncle Mark on the line. Uncle Mark, you there?
Yeah, okay. How you doing now?
All righty, man.
Everybody stuffed from yesterday, huh?
You got it. Yeah. How about you?
Oh, yeah, I'm still negotiating back to normal. I'm just calling in. I'm not really sure where you guys are in conversation. I just wanted to shout something out here that I think...
It's open forum day. Open forum day, so anything on your mind.
A shout-out for Tony Gonzalez. Now, is this guy a heck of a football player or what?
Mm-hmm.
13 years in the league, 37 years old, playing better than guys who are half his age coming up. Just remarkable. I really want to see this guy continue. I used to be a Chiefs fan going way, way back when he started. And to just see this guy thriving out there in Atlanta is just, I think, remarkable. I don't know what you guys think about it. There's a lot of players out there that are playing longer and longer in the league into their 30s. And, hey, there's a couple kickers out there in their 40s. And I'll hang up and let you guys go. But I just thought a shout-out was due for a great, great athlete in Gonzalez. It could very well be his last year.
Well, yeah, he's got 16 years, I think. Is that what I'm reading here? 16 years, I believe, in the league. You're right. He's 36 years old. He's having he's having a heck of a season. 650 yards, 6 TDs. You're right. I mean, you don't see too many guys playing that long any longer into in the NFL, for sure.
No, and he's had one heck of a career. I mean, sure, yeah, definitely gonna get into the Hall.
Yep, 101. Career-wise, 13,988 yards, 101 TDs on his career. That's you make a good point there, Psychic. Very possible you're looking at a Hall of Famer here, and done it somewhat quietly. I would say.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, he's not going to maybe, be the all-time career receptions leader. I mean, he's got a ways to go there, but he's got near, 1,200 receptions, something like that?
Right. Yes, 1,200 is right. 1,213.
Yeah, and he's really trying to get that ring. Yeah, well, I've seen some interviews, with him, is this going to be the year, and he's like, hey, I need that ring.
Well, and who would blame him? As pointed out, after 16 years in the league, I think the thing, as you point out, and this is what it strikes me about it, is quietly having the kind of season that he is, and quietly just going about doing his job. Atlanta's going to play on Sunday. They're
taking on Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, correct?
Yep.
Where do you see that one going, there, Uncle Mark?
I don't know. Sean has done a nice job in trying to create a real team environment. And, of course, we remember early on the kneel-down escapades that he was bringing to try and get that Buccaneers team to believe in themselves and pull for themselves. But you got to like Hotlanta. I mean, I really don't see the Buccaneers playing 60 minutes against a team of that caliber. I really think Atlanta's probably going to eventually win that game, and probably decisively at the end.
Yeah, the last I looked at the line, and I don't know whether it's moved in the past day or so. I haven't looked at it probably since maybe Wednesday. The last time I looked at this, Atlanta was only a one-point favorite at Tampa Bay. Some might say that that's actually a Tampa Bay line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So could be close. I don't know whether that's the odds makers saying, well, Atlanta, they haven't looked, they've kind of struggled in the past 2 weeks. I don't know if that's the case. Sidekick, where do you see that particular game going? We didn't talk about that one on 5 minutes at the Frat House.
No, and and I kind of share your sentiment. I'm not quite sure where to go with that because it seems Tampa Bay's been playing some good football. They're what are they, 6-4?
Mm-hmm.
And the Falcons have, they're 10-1?
9-1.
9-1. But some of the criticism for the Falcons has been that maybe they've got an easier schedule than other teams. They haven't really beaten anybody that's it's over 500.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's a tough game. I think Atlanta will probably pull it out. They haven't been looking real pretty lately, but I think you may see Atlanta pull this one out.
Yeah,
I think there's definitely more weapons for Matt Ryan.
Oh yeah.
Than for Tampa Bay.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree. I picked Atlanta on it as well. Although I will say, I hedge a little bit in looking at that line. Because it would indicate to me that there are many out there that think that Tampa Bay might be able to upset them. Hey, listen, Uncle Mark, while I got you here, you've got, in a couple of moments here, we were going to switch things over. Psychic and I were going to just switch over real quick, just take a look at where things stand a little bit, and it'll be a quick update, let's put it that way, with regard to the NHL. And I know that you are a big NHL fan yourself. And I know that this has got to kind of probably be what's happening right now has got to be under, you know, getting under your skin a bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, golly, I've written in on the Frat House site for, you know, different comments, and I've seen posts go up. This is unfathomable to me, as I'm sure it is to many listeners out there, that we're so badly mired in what appears to be just a stalemate. I really believe there's got to be a point where a third-party mediator becomes a part of the process. Otherwise, you know, we're going to just scrap heap everything. Interestingly enough, you know, EA Sports hasn't stopped their marketing to, you know, NHL. And, of course, NHL 2013 is available for those people that want to go and have some kind of virtual experience with the game that we used to know. I mean, they're even running sports, which I found quite amusing. Former Stanley Cup champions are struggling at 2-5, just to give you a quick update. I mean, you know, on Blog Talk Radio, you've had, for instance, Dan Hynote. That was an outstanding interview. You know, more recently, you spoke to broadcaster. What was his name?
Kenny Albert.
Yeah, Kenny Albert. Yeah, I listened into that one. I saved that one as an archive. And you hear some very intelligent minds out there about the game, but unfortunately, we're not talking to the heads, the people in charge. I mean, Donald Fair evidently has, you know, he's really got the players behind him. They absolutely believe that he's the man to lead them through this. But unfortunately, you know, the concession workers, parking attendants, the fan base themselves, we're all on the outside looking in. We're wondering if there's ever a game that we're going to even want to go back to.
Right, right. Do you blame any one side more than the other?
Well, no. You know, as this thing has just gone into its protracted nature, it's become just an octopus, an ever cascading ripple out into vast nowhereville. We've seen, I think, everyone, a sense of coming down on one side and then coming down on the other. And because of that push me, pull you, we're not getting anywhere kind of philosophy, which has plagued the entire affair. That's why I say I think you have to get some kind of third-party mediator in there to say, all right, now let's level the field. You get in that corner, you get in that corner, and we're going to cage match.
Yeah,
and we're going to hammer this out until it's done. Something's got to be done. I mean, otherwise, again, where are we going? I mean, it's a defunct league. Right now it is defunct, lost its fan base, losing sponsorship. All those NBC contractual TV rights, you've got to know ESPN is laughing about.
Yep. Well, and you make a very valid point, and I said it even many, many weeks ago. And I believe I posted it up on the Frat House Facebook page where I said that this situation is going to require some sort of mediator. It's going to require an arbitrator that's going to sit down. They're going to have both sides sitting there at the table, look them both square in the eye and say, knock off the nonsense. We don't want to hear any bullshit from either one of these sides, and we're going to get this thing solved. But my concern is that it's going to – who's going to choose the mediator, and does that become a negotiating point? So,
yeah.
There was an article in this morning's Yahoo Sports site, headlined "No End in Sight to Bickering NHL Lockout." And I ask, you know, is there a side to be blamed here or not? The NHLPA apparently put forth a proposal the other day at the behest of the NHL, which I think is kind of ridiculous. It's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. You know, oh, it's not my turn. It's your turn. And then they give it back, and then it's somebody else's turn.
Yeah.
One of the things that's read in the article, meanwhile, despite rumblings that the NHLPA's current offer was their last best bid, all you have to do to know that isn't true is look at this detail, specifically the line that reads, quote, in years 2-5 of this agreement, the player's share in dollars may not be less than it was in the previous year. So it looks like the NHLPA attempted to slide one in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it appeared to me.
Well, yeah, and again, I think that's just because of the nature. I mean, I don't know what you think, but I think that's just because of the nature of the disdain which has become readily apparent with both sides in this position of labor stoppage. They're trying to get each other with death by a thousand little cuts, and everything is coming under scrutiny. And that's why I say we gotta throw a big light on this. If you want to save the game, if you want to save integrity, and that's really what we're going to. We're going to a question of ethics and integrity at this point. It's beyond competition. It's beyond necessarily just being a sport. At this point, it is, you know, it's an industry, and it needs to be treated as an industry in crisis.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to look at.
Right. All righty. Well, Uncle Mark, we appreciate your calls. Appreciate your comments.
Yep, love it, love it. Always listening, usually archiving, you know, and always searching your sites to throw my fruitless 2 cents into.
We appreciate it very much.
All right, Sidekick, love you, man. Keep it up. We need to get Andy back on pretty soon, I would think. Fred House, Mike, I don't know what you think, but might be time to maybe see if we can get Coach on, because you know, word. Even up here in North Central Jersey, as you know, the Walrus, his days are numbered. So if you can find time,
yeah,
get him
sure.
To chat with us. We'd like to hear what he thinks about it. You know, time is yours, huh?
We'll have to talk to our contacts and see if we can get Andy on before his demise, huh?
Ah, come on.
Yeah, before they run him out of town, right?
He's coming this season, right? He's probably going to make it all the way through, don't you think?
I would, in my personal opinion, I think he should. I don't know exactly how it's going to go. I think he should be permitted to do so, let's put it that way. If, in fact, he were to get fired, I think it's a matter of waiting on the math, if you understand what I'm saying. Jeff Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, indicated early on in the season that 8-8 would not be acceptable. I think what we're doing right now is we're waiting for the math to fall into place where, in fact, it would be inevitable that the Eagles would be 8-8. Going into this weekend, at this particular time right now, the Eagles still mathematically are in there. So I think what we're doing is we're probably waiting. Go ahead.
We should know after this game, because I think if they lose this game to Carolina this week.
Yes.
That basically will end any attempts for Andy to get to an 8-8 season. So at this point, I think he'll be done.
Correct.
So yeah. It'll just be a matter of, you know, okay, are we going to watch the slow death, you know, of Andy Reid for the rest of the season? Or is somebody going to, you know, pull a Kevorkian and do a mercy killing on him?
Well, yeah, and you know, there are two schools of thought on that. You know, some are saying the fan base has become so vitriolic and has turned so negative on him. And with the Monday night game coming up and John Gruden covering it, there is great concern that the fans are going to be screaming Gruden's name. You know, you got to wonder whether, while I feel that the man deserves the respect of 14 years to be able to finish the season, one's got to wonder whether, in fact, it actually would be a good thing to just eliminate the situation at this point and allow the fan base to get kind of at least start to look forward and look hopeful to something in the future.
Yeah, well, it's actually gotten to the point where now, you know, you've got the fan base actually turning on the owner.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, that's not good either.
Right.
So it's definitely going to be interesting, but I do agree with you. I think Andy should be allowed to stay through the end of the season. I don't, you know, it's not like, you know, honestly, I don't think there's anybody else in his staff that you can put them up there, but they're just going to get skewered like everybody else.
Oh, agreed.
You know, and that's just going to be a, you know, an even worse situation, I think.
I think the fan base has gotten so negative now to the entire thing that they want to just see the entire house swept clean.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, you could put a Todd Bowles down there and put the head coaching headset on him, or you could take a Marty Morningwig, and the fact is they're still going to be screaming. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All righty, Uncle Mark. Thanks very much for your call in, and stay in touch. All right, man?
Absolutely, guys. Keep it up. Keep it up. Thanks.
All right, you got it. All righty, Psychic. We got about 5 minutes left here in the program, and that was nice of Uncle Mark up there from Northern Jersey to give us a holler. We appreciate that. Appreciate the input that he gave to us there on the NFL and on the NHL as well. I know that he is a big hockey fan. Comes from my neck of the woods here, where he's a Flyers fan to start. But then, hey, being up there in Northern Jersey, he follows those Jersey Devils. So nothing wrong with that. We'll go along with that. Let's just real quick, Psychic, to finish up on the we were talking about that New England and Jets game. Article I read this morning, and you know, we've seen it all season long. They're screaming for Tim Tebow to come in. Tebow apparently comes out after the game and says, well, and he never was a part of the game at all. Came out afterward and said he wasn't in the game because he suffered two broken ribs from 2 weeks ago. And this became news. My question was, in thinking about it, how in the world did he sustain two broken ribs? I mean, he's been on the field for a whopping total of what this season? 7 minutes?
Yeah, I forget. They flashed his numbers last night. Yeah, and it's kind of funny. You know, talk about the Tebow chance last night, because you know, you had apparently at one point in the game, you had half the stadium booing or cheering for Tebow, and the other half booing the people cheering for Tebow.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like something out of, I know you're not a big wrestling fan, but it's almost like something out of, you know, Monday Night Raw with John Cena, where, you know, half the crowd's chanting Cena, and the other half of the crowd's chanting that they hate Cena.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, same sort of situation going there with the Jets.
Yep. Well, just a word to everybody out there in Jets land. Trust me, I'm going to tell you right now, moving things over to Tebow is not going to solve your problems. Your problems are not going to get solved, in my opinion, until you do something about the coaching situation, the play calling, and the offensive line, which was absolutely horrible again yesterday.
Right.
So that's where I stand with the Jets on it. Far be it from me. I'm an outsider looking in, you know. Maybe I shouldn't say anything, but. All right. Let's start wrapping it up here for and throw out a couple of reminders. First of all, please don't forget, this is called Fan Junkies Radio, which means we need you to get over to fanjunkies.net. It is a social media site. It is a lot like the old Facebook. And best part of it is completely free. Now, look, folks, you got some time off right now. You're off today. You know, a lot of you are off tomorrow. It's a long weekend, the perfect time. It takes a whopping total of about 3 minutes to sign up for fanjunkies.net. FratHouseSports.net as well, up and running. We've got all of our 5 minutes at the Frat House videos over there, so we ask you, hey, you listened to Mike and Sidekick. You could go and see Mike and Sidekick. Episode number 64 straight weeks we've been on the air. And you could actually see us. Could actually see what we look like. So check the videos out and check out some of our stories and our content over there. Hey, Monday, Jonathan and I have got a fabulous show all lined up. Former NBA player and current New Orleans Hornets scout, Chucky Brown, is going to be our guest on Monday. So you're going to want to make sure that you tune in for that. All right. Sidekick, thank you. I appreciate you being here with me today.
Loved it. Had a blast.
All righty. And for all of us here at Fan Junkies, for all of us here at Fan Junkies Radio, listen, we want to wish you a great rest of the holiday weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net.
FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
Okay, I think you're there. Dave?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. I think that did it. That should be done right there. Recording live. Okay. That went well. That went real well.
So.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I definitely got to work on my arrangement if I'm going to do a radio show.
Arrangement?
Yeah. So.
Well,
I'm gonna need some equipment, I think. Or at least rebuild my equipment.
Well, your headset there sounds fabulous, though.
Yeah. Well, now I rebooted my machine right there at the beginning of the show, and then was able to get into the studio. Apparently, my Java crashed.
Oh, yeah, right.
So that's why it wasn't letting me in. So I never did get into the chat room.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see if we can work that one out.
It wouldn't let me do that,
time.
But yeah, no, it work on a couple things to make it more easier to, you know, do a radio show.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, listen, I'll have it. I'll post it up on Facebook when it's available, which will probably be a couple of minutes. They usually post up pretty quickly, and then you can move it around to some of your friends and put it over on your Facebook pages. And
all righty. You
know, all right.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, man. Nice job.
All right. Yep.
Great.
You too.
Great. Bye-bye.
Bye.